This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. When schools sent children home this spring because of the new coronavirus sweeping the nation, parents, teachers, and kids found themselves with a huge unexpected challenge, as the architecture that allowed for students to be in a classroom 6 to 8 hours a day disappeared. Many parents had their own problems with childcare, their own work schedules, and other issues. Despite the rapid response to set up distance learning, many students just lost track of their teachers. One school administrator in Detroit set out to find them. Jacqueline Dungy is the principal of the new Paradigm Loving Academy, a pre-K through 5 grade charter school in Detroit. Jacqueline Dungy, welcome to Stateside.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
We're also joined by reporter Aaron Einhorn, who wrote about the Loving Academy story for NBCNews.com. Aaron, nice to have you.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Jacqueline, let's just remember for a moment how very fast everything happened in March. Can you tell us when the last day in the building was and when you realized that you were losing connection with students?
So our actual last day in the building was March 12th. But prior to that, we had heard what was going on with the virus. And so we had already started to prep our teachers and our students for what could potentially happen, meaning we had started to talk about additional strategies with hand washing, making sure that we're covering our cough, reminding them of our health lessons from earlier in the year. Then we also jumped into planning in regards to, if this should happen, what does that look like? And what will we do with our students? How will we ensure that they continue their learning online? How will we get teachers the training for Google Classroom, and as well as how to stay connected with our families to ensure that we have some continuity of learning throughout what we thought was going to be a 2-week closure that became a rest of the year closure.
What did you find about how many kids had access to the technology that they needed to get through this?
So when we first started making those phone calls, we started to ask parents, we kind of surveyed them to say, you know, hey, what access to technology do you have outside of cell phones? Are there tablets available? Are there phone calls? And we were discovering that it seemed as though 30% of our students were ready to hop online right away. So when we first rolled out Google Classroom, we had the first week, we only had about 30% of our students connecting. And so that let us know, okay, so we needed to go back in and make sure that our parents felt comfortable to let them know that we have technology available. We're going to be rolling it out to all of our families that are in need. And so once we got into those calls, our teaching team, our administrative team, we jumped on and we were able to connect with all of our families that numbers were working for and get technology out to all of the families who were in need of it.
Aaron, the world now knows that in addition to the issues of technology that prohibited some schools from communicating with students, that there was a crisis going on in the city of Detroit. And many families were going through situations that had something to do with their kids being unable to touch base. Can you give us a broader picture of some of the ways that schools might have had to contact their kids other than classes? Jacqueline mentioned meal programs. I know those were happening all over Detroit, weren't they?
I mean, I think we all know that there's been a crisis everywhere, right? You know, businesses were closed down, people were laid off. You know, there was a, you know, sort of extreme economic crisis. And in a city like Detroit, where a majority of families were already living in poverty and already on the edge, you know, just the economic implications of the COVID-19 crisis were going to have extraordinary impact on families in a city like Detroit and in lots of places. And then you had illness. You know, this is a city where more than 1,400 people have died. And those are the parents and the grandparents and the loved ones of students in these schools. And so you've got grief, you know, and illness, you know, so mom's sick or dad's sick or grandma's sick or grandpa's sick, and you got to care for them. You got to take care of them. Mom's overwhelmed. She just lost her job. So you've got all these things going on in families' lives. And so schools, which have always played, you know, especially in the lives of children who families in poverty, schools always played this crucial role of being that safe place, you know, the place where, you know, teachers might notice, oh, this child is wearing clothes that haven't been laundered, that are dirty. And that might be a sign that the child's, you know, lost housing or has unstable housing. You know, obviously teachers look out for signs of abuse and things like that. And suddenly you take the school, the physical school, out of the lives of kids and out of the lives of families at a time when families are facing an extreme crisis, and you're going to have a problem. I mean, obviously we have issues with, you know, technology, and you can't log into your online class if you don't need a tablet. But I think, you know, anybody who, you know, is familiar with the lives of children in a city like Detroit knows that they need more than a tablet and an internet connection to be able to engage with their teacher. You know, they need so many other things. They need so many other forms of support.
Jacqueline, will you tell us about the plans that you and your staff put into action to try to find and reconnect and communicate with students?
So within our New Paradigm network of schools, our six schools, we work with our leadership team to devise plans to connect with all of our students. And so we were making those wellness calls. As Erin said, it's not just about making sure that they had the connection to technology, but we wanted to make sure everybody was okay. If students were in need of food, for instance, we did have across the district, Tuesday and Thursdays, we had our food distributions, as well as we were working with Gleaners to provide additional family food support. And then determining if students are not able to come and pick up foods due to lack of transportation or whatever the need might be, how can we get those meals to students? And then as we're digging in, looking at our trackers to make sure, are there any needs that families had, but what were those needs? And so if they, for instance, were needs in regards to perhaps someone in the family had passed away, we definitely wanted to make sure that our students were connected with, we work with the program Open Arms to get grief counseling support to our students so that we can provide that wraparound care and support. We also, in the event that there were funeral costs that might come into play to help them work through whatever situation that they were going in. But then as we're looking through our trackers and myself as the principals are going through, I'm looking to see, you know, are there any families that we haven't talked to, not just left a voicemail for, but that we haven't physically talked to? And where are they? What's going on? What do we need to do next? And our next thought was automatically, okay, we have to get to those families. We have to find those families, and we have to figure out where those families are. And so then we go to looking at emergency contacts, contacting grandmas, grandpas, aunts, uncles. There were still some kids that we still could not make contact with based on all of our phone numbers and connections. And so we took it to other kids. We were able to find a student by going, connecting with Xbox. So they had just played with a student the night before on Xbox, but we didn't have a good connection number, and we were able to connect with that student to get a good number. So that's a success. But the students that we still couldn't get a hold of, we had to take it to the streets, and we had to find the addresses, last known addresses of students, and determine if they still lived there, if they didn't still live there, and make sure that just all of our kids were safe. And sometimes we would go to houses and to addresses, and those were no longer the addresses. And then we had to go back to the drawing board and determine, you know, go to either its aunts, uncles, grandmas, grandpas, and become that detective and kind of figure out where are those kids and how do we connect with them. So it became a networking event where we're like, okay, we need to connect with this person. Who do we need to call? Where do we need to go to find our kids?
It won't come as news to anyone who works in urban education that families do not have access to education if their home life is in complete turmoil. But it just sounds like the scale of what was going on here was so beyond what you normally would be dealing with. Would you say that's an accurate assessment?
Absolutely, because when students come to school, if we see that there is something going on, we're able to pull them to the side and talk to them. But if we don't know what's going on because we haven't spoken to any members of the family or we haven't talked to you, the enormity of the worry, like what's going on? Is everybody okay? Do they have a place to stay? Do they have enough food? Is there another issue going on with the family? And it was on such a level that, you know, I might worry if you're out a day or two, but I haven't talked to you, and no one within our staff has talked to you in more than a week. That's a whole different level of concern, because you're not going to come to school because school's not open. That safe place, that cocoon of love that our kids like walk into our schools, and they know that they're coming in with unconditional love. They're coming in with someone's going to take care of them, provide them with whatever they need, feed them. But if I know that the school is closed, I can't see you.
If you're just joining us, my guests are Jacqueline Dungy, the principal of New Paradigm Loving Academy in Detroit. We're also speaking with education reporter Aaron Einhorn. Aaron, as someone who's covered education in the city for a long time, obviously this is not just happening at one school in Detroit. What do you think this is going to mean for the city's students over the long term?
Gosh, I don't think any of us really know. I mean, you know, you have this cascading series of impacts, right? I mean, if students were displaced from school, like just displaced from school for, you know, for what is it? So March, April, May, June. So four months, just missing that many months of school or the regular classroom for that many months would have extraordinary academic implications. Kids are going to fall behind. But then layer in all the other things that happen in the lives of these kids. The sudden disruption of not going to school, of school suddenly closing, and the fear and the panic. You know, there's this disease that is so horrible and so scary that they've had to close my school. Am I going to get it? Is my mom going to get it? Is my dad going to get it? You know, my grandma. So you have that. And then you have the people who actually did get sick or actually did lose loved ones. And you have all of that, the trauma, you know, the social and emotional impacts. So if you had just the academic displacement or just the trauma and the social emotional, either one of those would be hugely difficult for schools to address. But now you've got both of them. And now you've got all of it. And it's all going to land on schools' plates when schools do open. And it's also corresponding with a time when schools are facing, when the state is in an economic crisis. So all the schools and all the administrators are being told to brace for budget cuts. So at a time when we need to be supporting children academically and supporting children social emotionally, and that's even just your general ed kids, you know, your special children with special needs. I mean, I don't know how many schools were able to fulfill provide the extra supports that children with special needs are required by law to receive under their IEPs, under their special education contracts. Those children, you know, many of them weren't able to get the supports, but they're all going to come to school. They're all going to need all kinds of extra interventions and supports at a time when schools are going to have less money to provide those interventions and supports. And that's, I can't even wrap my head around what that's going to mean.
Jacqueline Dungy, I don't know the extent to which the school already had plans in place for summer outreach under a normal year, but I wonder if you could tell us, you know, sort of where things stand right now as you try to stay connected with these kids in their ongoing moments of grief and crisis, and maybe how you're starting to think about next fall.
So, as a district, so New Paradigm for Education, we've already put plans into place to begin summer school. But making sure that we have a strong plan coming back into the fall. And so we definitely have been working with the leadership team to to survey our families. What do they feel comfortable with for the fall? Do they feel comfortable with face-to-face instruction? Do they feel comfortable with a blended model where they're having face-to-face instruction as well as virtual? But also we're still waiting on news from the governor. What are their guidelines going to be? And still looking at the guidelines of the ever-changing, you know, safety guidelines from the CDC. We have to make sure that we're meeting all of these requirements, but then also doing what's best for kids and what's going to keep our staff and our students and our families safe. And continuing any students that have, for instance, experienced any type of loss, continuing to provide them with the grief counseling and support services that they might need, and doubling back for any of those families who weren't necessarily ready to receive the services, but now are more open to the services, and just keeping a watch on it, because there's still a lot of things going on within the state of Michigan, in the city of Detroit. This crisis is not over. And so we have to continue to maintain those relationships with our families, maintain the level of concern for them, and have ensure that they see that we're still providing all of the services that we would normally provide, but we're putting that extra touch on it because it's still a tough time for a lot of our kids and families. We just did a drive-by parade for our kindergarten promotion and for our fifth graders. We still want to have that special connection with them because especially elementary kids, we're a K-5 school, they need that extra connection to adults. And our families, they were really grateful and thankful that we were able to recognize our scholars and really just celebrate them. And they weren't expecting it. So I was really happy and excited to be able to provide that continued love and support, and to just to see their faces and for them to see our staff cheering them on and celebrating them was a good experience for all of us just to reconnect face to face with even more students.
I think what I'm hearing here is the way you continue to do this work is by just getting in there and continuing to do the work.
It never stops. If my team doesn't, if our district doesn't, then who will? We can't depend on somebody else. We have to keep putting in the physical work that's needed and necessary. You go into education not to make money. You go into it for a variety of reasons, but that passion for students and learning, it has to continue to be ongoing. Otherwise, I don't know where my kids would end up. And as I say, they're my kids. They're not just students at New Paradigm Living Academy or Detroit kids. They're our kids. And they deserve a champion for them. They deserve everything that any other student across any other district or city would get.
Jacqueline Dungy is the principal of the New Paradigm Loving Academy, a pre-K through 5th charter network in Detroit. We've also been speaking with Aaron Einhorn, who's a national education reporter for NBCNews.com based in Detroit. Ladies, thank you both for your work and for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me. I definitely appreciate it.